Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. And today we have special topic of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And to enlighten on the topic, we have with us His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for giving your very precious time and association and enlightening on the topic. Now I hand over the call to you. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. My special gratitude to Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji for kindly engaging me in the service this morning. My special gratitude to all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis for kindly participating and blessing me with their auspicious presence. So we will quickly chant the Mangalacharana prayers and then we will get started. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुर उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रसारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So it's my honor and privilege to be speaking on such a wonderful topic. I've been asked to speak from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and especially this is the section where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just begun speaking to Srila Sanatan Goswami. Our Adi Gadadhar Prabhu yesterday spoke about the pastime of Srila Sanatan Goswami up to the point of meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showering his causeless mercy on Srila Sanatan Goswami. After that, Srila Prabhupada, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, explains the beginning of the conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Sanatan Goswami. So today we have about 20 verses coming from Chaitanya Charitamrita. As we know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is like the Krishna book. What the Krishna book does to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya does to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Basically, it's the condensed overview of all the important points. Srila Prabhupada has always been in the mood of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has always been in the mood of emergency, because at the age of 95, he's been asked by the Vaishnav community to gift Chaitanya Charitamrita to the world. Actually, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami first wrote the Govinda Lilamrita, which describes the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in the eightfold Ashtakaliya Leela, reading which Srila Jiva Goswami was so impressed and so inspired that he said, if there's anyone who can describe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna so beautifully, then that is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And then only someone who can describe Radha and Krishna so beautifully can now describe Radha and Krishna in one form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so beautifully. So after describing Govinda Lilamrita, why don't you now write a Chaitanya Lilamrita or a Chaitanya Charitamrita? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he took that instruction to heart. And by the mercy of Radha Madan Mohan, he was inspired. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that I'm just an instrument, and Radha Madan Mohan used me as their pen. So for example, when an author picks up a pen and he starts writing his notes, so whose notes are they? They are the notes of the writer, not the pen. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Radha Madan Mohan is the author and he is describing Mahaprabhu's leelas, and I am simply the pen. So whose writing is it after all? It's not mine. It's Radha Madan Mohan. It's Krishna's. So Kaviraj Goswami has been in that mood, and we find Srila Prabhupada also in the same mood. Srila Prabhupada was instructed by, just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was instructed by the Vaishnava community, Srila Prabhupada was instructed by Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur to do the same thing that Kaviraj Goswami was supposed to do, that is to propagate and distribute the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide. Prithivite achachata nagaradi gram sarvatra pracharo hoibe moranam. Mahaprabhu had predicted that my name will spread. So who will do it? Abhay Babu will do it. Our Swami Maharaj, our Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada will do it. So just like Kaviraj Goswami, in his ripe old age, took on this task to fulfill the instruction of the Vaishnava community, our beloved Srila Prabhupada also in his old age took it as his task, preaching task, to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide. And Kaviraj Goswami, we see that in the Adilila he composes about 3,000 verses. And in the Madhya Lila, he composes about 6,000 verses. And in the Antya Lila, he composes another 2,000 verses. So about, all inclusive, about 11,555 verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita he composes, including Bengali and Sanskrit. Kaviraj Goswami has written Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and Antya Lila in that split up. About 3,000, 6,000, and about 2,500. Adi, Madhya, and Antya. And then that spans over 60 chapters, about 62 chapters to be precise. Adi Lila has about 17 chapters, and Madhya Lila has 25 chapters, and Antya Lila has 20 chapters. So 17 plus 25, 42 plus 20 is 62. 62 chapters in Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and Antya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita spanning over 11,550 verses. So it is very difficult to give so much literary contribution at that ripe old age. And yet at the same time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, if we see, he's always so humble. He's not taking credit for anything. Jai moro naam shune tar punya kshay. Anybody who hears my name, they lose all their pious credit. How can we lose pious credit? By remembering and chanting Krishnadas. Because by chanting Krishna, all the sins are destroyed. Narayana nama naro naranam prasiddha chaura kathita prithivyam aneka janmarjita papa sancharam haratyashesham shruti matrameva. The Vayu Puran has described that the name of the Lord is the greatest thief possible. Harati ashesham shruti matrameva. Just by hearing, it can steal away all the sins. So he whose name is Krishna Das Kaviraj, how can we chant that name and become sinful? No, it's just his bhav. Jai mora naam shune tara punya kshay. All the punya is gone if you simply hear my name. So if you see, Srila Prabhupada is also like that. Always very humble, giving credit to his spiritual master. Always saying that, oh, my Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission. He never said that I am preaching to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada was never in that mood. He always said that actually my Guru Maharaj has sent all of you. All the American boys and girls, you have been sent by my Guru Maharaj. And even when Srila Prabhupada was asked about Saraswati Thakur's preaching and his preaching, like, Prabhupada, you have built so many temples and your Guru Maharaj built 64 mutts, etc., etc. And Srila Prabhupada, very humbly, he said that if you see, when I tried preaching in India, I could not. But my Guru Maharaj built 64 temples in that same India that I could not preach. And he said that my preaching, if you see, I have airways, which means aircrafts. I can take flights from one place to another. Said, my Guru Maharaj, without taking a single flight, he built so many temples. Imagine if you give him a flight and give him now the opportunity to go from one continent to another. He said, he would have built 1,000 temples. So he said, I am nowhere close to my Guru Maharaj. So very humble, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Jagat Guru. In Sanskrit, it is said, Vidya Vinayena Shobhate. The transcendental knowledge always shines when it is coupled with humility. What is the use if somebody knows a lot but is not humble? is not humble enough to recognize that I am only a medium. Today I'm having this ability, but one slap of material nature and I may forget, or I may be invalid, or I may even die and lose everything. So remembering that is humility, to always understand that if Krishna desires, then he may do this through me. But independent of Krishna, I cannot do anything. And we can see a classic example of that in Naghasur Leela. Krishna's friends try to enter the mouth without Krishna. What happened? They ended up going unconscious. And when Krishna came, then they rose from the grave, which means they were all unconscious inside the mouth of Agasur. But when Krishna was included, then they all woke up, which means we are all like dead bodies walking. If we are without Krishna, then the Agasur mouth of material nature will swallow us in no time. And if we are with Krishna, even if our spiritual life has dipped, like for the boys, they had gone unconscious. They had almost lost their lives in the mouth of Agasur. So if we are with Krishna, then we can rise from any point by his power. But without him, we are zero. We will be finished at no time. We see even those who drank the waters of Kaliya, Jamuna, they fell unconscious. But just by the glancing of Krishna, they woke up. So it is the glance of the Supreme Lord which makes inconceivable things work. Yonta pravishya mama vachamimam prasuptam sanjeevayatyakhila shakti dharasvadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanatvagadin prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. When Dhruva Maharaj sees the Supreme Lord in the forest, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 6, he sees the Supreme Lord. He says, after seeing you, my Lord, when you touched your conch shell, you touched me with your conch shell, that's when I feel all my senses came to life. Yontaha pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam. My vacha was sleeping, prasuptam. And by your touch, sanjeevayatya khila shakti dharasvadhamna, I feel life has entered my body by your touch. So Krishna can do miracles. So Kaviraj Goswami is always in that mood. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, taking that baton of humility and knowledge and poetry and compassion from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he gave this Chaitanya Charitamrita to the whole world. Shruta Kirti Prabhu writes in What's the Difficulty book that one time he asked Srila Prabhupada that what pleases you the most, Srila Prabhupada? Sometimes you have said book distribution and sometimes you have said other things. What pleases you the most? And Srila Prabhupada was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita at that time. So he told Shruta Kirti Prabhu, what pleases me the most? Anyone who reads Chaitanya Charitamrita and distributes this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu far and wide, oh, such a person pleases me the most. So he told Shruta Kirti Prabhu that if you really want to please me, just speak from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Preach the message. Shruyatam, shruyatam, nityam, giyatam, giyatam, muda, chintyatam, chintyatam, bhaktas chaitanya charitamritam. Just hear, sing, and meditate upon Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And just like Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, or let's say just like Shukadev Goswami's 10th canto has been condensed as Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kaviraj Goswami has been condensed as the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Kaviraj Goswami is always an emergency because he doesn't know how much time he has, whether he will be able to finish Chaitanya Charitamrita. At the age of 95, every day is actually an extra day. It's a blessing. But he was praying that, please keep me alive so that I can finish writing this work. And many times that's why we see that the pastimes of Antalila are many times described briefly before, just in short. Kaviraj Goswami is of this feeling that I don't know if I will live long to describe all those pastimes in the future. So I will just write in Sankshipta Varnan, not Vistrit Varnan or Vistar, not in great detail, very short, Sankshipta. I will just give a brief description. And then if time permits, I can elaborate on that later. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, early in his preaching, In the late 60s only, he gave the Krishna book and he gave the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Because what Prabhupada is of this anxiety that, well, I don't know how much time I have in my hand. I don't know if I will be able to give the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. At least teachings of Lord Chaitanya should come out. So even if the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is not translated, the essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the conversations Mahaprabhu has had with his associates is documented. Is documented. Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, conversations with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, all of these things should be documented in one place. So even if one is not able to, let's say Prabhupada is not able to present the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, or the person who is reading is not able to read the whole thing, at least he can get the essence of Mahaprabhu's teachings by reading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada himself writes this in the purport, that I don't know, in the mood of Kaviraj Goswami, I don't know how much time I have. So I've written this work. So with that as the introduction to this book, let us read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which maps to the third chapter of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Srila Prabhupada has covered from verse 95 onwards up to verse 120. In the third chapter of the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we will very quickly, we have about 45 minutes. So not in great detail, but we will just quickly skim through and see the contents. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Purve Jai Che Raye Pashe Prabhu Prashna Kaila Tara Shakte Ramananda Tara Uttar Dila Iha Prabhu Shakte Prashna Kare Sanatan Apane Mahaprabhu Kare Tattva Nirupan. Formerly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Ramananda Rai spiritual questions. And by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ramananda Rai could properly answer or reply. Now, by the Lord's mercy, Sanatan Goswami questioned the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally supplied the truth. So we know, in all conversations, Mahaprabhu is speaking. When he is talking to Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami is asking questions and Mahaprabhu is answering. Sanatan Goswami is asking questions, Mahaprabhu is answering. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is asking questions, Mahaprabhu is answering. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati is speaking and Mahaprabhu is answering. But only with Ramananda Rai, Mahaprabhu is asking questions and Ramananda Rai is answering. In all the conversations, Mahaprabhu is speaking. He is answering, but only with Ramananda Rai, he was asking and Ramananda Rai was answering. So therefore, formerly, Mahaprabhu had asked Ramananda Rai spiritual questions. And by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ramananda Rai could properly reply. Ramananda Rai had answers to all of Mahaprabhu's questions. And when Mahaprabhu said, oh, apurva amrita nadi vahetara mukhe, unprecedented nectarian river is flowing through your mouth. Oh, Ramananda, please don't stop. Continue speaking. At that time, Ramananda Rai, he says, Mahaprabhu, tumi vakta prabhu, tumi shrota. You are actually the sutradhar. I am like a veena instrument. And a veena instrument sounds good only when the musician plays it well. So I am a veena instrument. And whatever sound is coming through the veena is coming good, not because of the veena, but because the musician, which is you, are playing it so nicely. So Mahaprabhu, you are the musician and I am simply the veena. And whatever answers are coming out, whatever sound the veena is playing, that glory goes to the musician. So in a concert, let's say someone's playing the flute. Who gets all the credit? Not the flute, but the flutist, the player of the flute. So Sripad Ramananda Rai is saying that I'm simply an instrument. I'm a musical instrument. And whatever sound are coming through my mouth, that glory goes to the musician. And that is you, my Lord. So after that conversation, here it is described that Srila Sanatan Goswami asked some questions to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is answering. It's interesting that in the Madhya Leela, there are 25 chapters. And if we see how much time of Mahaprabhu's life it maps to, it is only 6 years. Mahaprabhu manifested his pastimes for 48 years. First 24 years, Grihasthashram, Leela, in Navadvip, as Nimai Vishwambhar. And at the age of 24, Mahaprabhu becomes Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He takes sannyas. And from the age of 24 to the age of 30, that is 6 years, Mahaprabhu travels. He does Dham Pariyatan or Brahman. He's traveling. And then from the age of 30 to the age of 48, 18 years, Mahaprabhu lives in Jagannath Puri. And in those 18 years, also the split up is as follows. The first 6 years, Mahaprabhu gives public demonstration of Nagar Sankirtan and Rathyatra, etc. And the last 12 years, from the age of 36 to the age of 48, Mahaprabhu is in the Gambhira. He is Gambhira Bhavanvitam. He is completely absorbed in his deep moods of separation from Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, in the association of Swarup Damodara and Ramananda Rai, who were actually incarnations of Lalita and Vishakha. So this time span between 24 and 30, which is 6 years of Mahaprabhu's travel, that is the most elaborate portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. For those 6 years of travel, Kaviraj Goswami gives 6,000 verses over 25 chapters. And in those 25 chapters, the last 5 chapters are dedicated to the conversation of Mahaprabhu with Sanatan Goswami. Mahaprabhu's conversations with Rupa Goswami, only one chapter, because Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami for 10 days, only one chapter. But Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatan Goswami for over a month at Manikarnika Ghat. So that is spanning over 5 chapters, the last 5 chapters, starting from chapter 20 to onwards. So Kaviraj Goswami very beautifully wraps all of that in one verse. Now this is in Sanskrit. Krishna Swarupa Madhurya Aishwarya Bhakti Rasashrayam Tattvam Sanataya Yeshah Kripaya Upadidesha Saha. So Krishna Swarupa Madhurya Aishwarya Bhakti Rasa Ashrayam Tattvam. All these tattvas were taught by Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. What are the tattvas? Krishna tattva, Krishna swarupa, the forms of Krishna, the incarnations of Krishna, the manifestations of Krishna. What is a Prabhav Prakash? What is a Vaibhav Prakash, etc.? Swarup. And yet at the same time, Aishwarya and Madhurya Bhakti. So Krishna has Madhurya Swarup and Aishwarya Swarup, which means Krishna has a sweet mood in Vrindavan, Mugdha Bhav, where he's innocent, he's eating dirt, he's stealing butter, and he's like Yashoda Nandan, very innocent, very sweet, where nobody's offering him obeisances, nobody's offering him Gandha, Pushpa, Dhoop, Deep, Naivedya, they're not offering pranam to him. They are not offering prarthana or prayers to him, but they're offering prarthana for him. They're praying to Mahavishnu for the protection of Krishna. This is Krishna's Madhurya Swarup. Madhurya Bhagavata Sar, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes. The essence of God is his sweetness. So that sweet form is described and displayed in Vrindavan. And outside Vrindavan, his Aishwarya Murti has been described, like Dwarkadish. Rukmini Dwarkadish. Krishna's form in Dwaraka is Aishwarya Murti. And then of course in Vaikuntha also, it's the Aishwarya, Shuddha Aishwarya Vishnu Tattva. So there are 4 manifestations of Krishna. In Vaikuntha, it is called as Shuddha Aishwarya Prem, where people in Vaikuntha have pure awe and reverence. You will never see Jay and Vijay putting their hand on the shoulder of Mahavishnu or putting their hand around the shoulder of Mahavishnu and climbing on his shoulder to break a pot of butter. You'll never see these things in Vaikunthas because it is Shuddha Aishwarya. Without offering obeisances, they will not enter the room. Without offering obeisances, they will not exit because they know whom they are dealing with. They are dealing with God. They are dealing with the Lord of Lakshmi. So that is in Vaikuntha. And in Dwaraka, it is Madhurya Mishrit Aishwarya Prem. So mainly it is Aishwarya Prem, awe and reverence, but there is some Madhurya, some sweetness also. Like you can see the pastime of Sudama there in Dwaraka, where there is friendship with Krishna. But that friendship is missing in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, nobody is friends with Mahavishnu, like they're sitting together and having one bhojan. You'll not find these pastimes. So there is Shuddha Aishwarya Prem in Vaikuntha. But in Dwaraka, there is Madhurya Mishrit Aishwarya Prem. There is Aishwarya Prem primarily, but there's some mishran, there is some mixing of Madhurya also, Madhurya Bhava also. And then when they come to, when Krishna's pastimes in Mathura are considered, then it is Aishwarya Mishrit Madhurya Prem. It is mainly Madhurya Prem, but there is some Aishwarya mixed there, some opulence mixed there. For example, Devaki Rani, Mother Devaki, Krishna's mother in Mathura, who gave birth to Krishna in the prison house. She has Vatsalya Prem, right? She has love of her mother. So when she saw Krishna after 11 years, walking into the wrestling arena of Kamsa Maharaj, Malla Naam, Ashani Indra Naam, Naravaras, Trinam Smaro Murtiman. This has been described in the Bhagavatam. As he entered into the wrestling arena of Kamsa Maharaj, Mother Devaki stood up with her hands outstretched to embrace her child, because she's seeing her Krishna after 11 years. When she gave birth to Krishna in the prison house of Mathura, Krishna was taken. She did not even have a chance to give her breast milk to Krishna as a mother, because she, you know, she was exhausted, and by the covering of Yoga Maya, she was put to sleep as Krishna was taken away by Vasudev Maharaj. So when Mother Devaki saw Krishna after 11 years, she stood up to embrace Krishna. But then when she saw that same Krishna hold the hair of Kamsa Maharaj and drag him down to death, Devaki Rani could not embrace Krishna anymore. She stood with folded palms. This certainly must be Bhagavan. This must be God. Who else can destroy Kamsa so mercilessly? So what happened? It's actually Madhurya Prem. She has the sweet mood of a mother in the heart. But as soon as she sees the display of Krishna's strength, that falls down to Dasya Bhav with folded palms. Same with Arjuna outside Vrindavan. Actually a sakha, a friend. But as soon as Krishna shows the universal form, what happens? He who told Krishna, Sena yoru bayor madhye ratham sthapayame achyuta, take my chariot in the middle of the battle arena. Now when Krishna is showing the Vishwaroop, Sakheti matva prasabham yaduktam, he Krishna he yadava he sakheti, ajanata mahimanam tavedam, maya pramadat pranayena vapi, yachavaha sartham asatkritopi, vihara shayya sanabho janeshu, eko tavapya chutatat samaksham tatkshamaye tvamapa ahamaprameyam. My Lord, out of my pride, I thought that I am actually your friend. But I realize I was not laughing at you. I was laughing at myself. I didn't make fun of you. I made fun of myself. You are unlimited. You are God. And I am so small. So what happened? The friendship of Arjun fell down to servitude. The motherly mood of Mother Devaki fell down to servitude outside Vrindavan. So we see there is Mishran. But in Vrindavan, it is called Shuddha Madhurya Prem. Krishna shows universal form. Krishna shows whole universe in the mouth. Mother Yashoda says, oh, I thought he ate only mitti. Now it seems like he has swallowed the whole universe. She doesn't go offering obeisances to Krishna. Krishna kills so many demons. Mother Yashoda's love doesn't fall. In fact, it increases more and more out of possessiveness. Today, Krishna was saved by my prayers. Narayan saved Krishna. Bhagavan Narayan, whom we worship as Shaligram Shila, we have been praying so deeply. And therefore, Narayan entered the body of Krishna and finished all these demons. Otherwise, Krishna, you know, he's scared of thunderbolt. He's scared of thundering and lightning. He jumps like a kitten holding my sari when he's hungry and thirsty and sleepy. What can he do to Putana and Agasura and Bakasura? It's just chance, by fluke. He has not done anything. Narayan is doing it. So this is Shuddha Madhurya Prem, where no conception, absolutely no conception of the Lord's divine opulence can hinder the love. So here it is described, Krishna Swarupa Madhurya Aishwarya Bhakti Rasa Ashrayam Tattvam. All of these moods that very quickly that we spoke about, Sanatanaya, for the pleasure of Sanatan, for the benefit of Sanatan, Sanatana Sukhartham, for giving pleasure to Sanatan Goswami, Ishaha, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What did he do? Kripaya, out of mercy. Upadidesha, that is past tense. He instructed. Saha. Saha Ishaha, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kripaya, out of mercy, Sanatanaya, for the benefit of Sanatan Goswami, all of these tattvas, Upadidesha. He gave Upadesh or Upadishtha. This was, Sanatan was instructed by Mahaprabhu. Look at Sanatan Goswami's mood. Putting a straw in his mouth and bowing down, Sanatan Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly spoke as follows. Sanatan Goswami said, I am born in a low family and my associates are all low class men. I am myself, I am fallen and I am the lowest of men. Indeed, I have passed my whole life fallen in the well of sinful materialism. I do not know what is beneficial for me and what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me to be a learned scholar, and I am also thinking of myself as such. Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic path. Now, by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is. Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries meaning suffering caused by the mind in the form of, let's say, anxiety, etc., suffering caused by others, and suffering caused by natural calamity. Adhidaivik, adhibhautik, adhyatmik. Adhyatmik klesha is the suffering caused by our own mind. Adhidaivik klesha is the klesha, the suffering caused by material nature. And adhibhautik klesha is the suffering caused by other living beings. So these are called the threefold miseries. Sanatan Goswami continues to ask, who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process of obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. So let's make a couple of points here. This is very important. Srila Sanatan Goswami, the mood in which he approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very important. Till the time there is no humble inquiry, the transcendental spiritual master will not give transcendental message because the heart is not ready. Many times, the disciple, although he is initiated, although he has taken diksha from Sri Guru, he may lack this mood. He may lack this mood. Krishna has also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Pranipat. First of all, there must be surrender in humility. And pariprashna, there must be asking questions. And service also, not just asking questions and then taking and moving on. One must also reciprocate and serve. One must serve the spiritual master, surrender to the lotus feet, be humble and ask questions. Sometimes people ask questions just to show the audience how much they know. But that is not the mood of asking questions. That is not the mood of asking questions. Sometimes the questions are asked to check how much the speaker knows. That is also not the mood to ask questions. Sometimes people ask the question just because they want to talk something. There is no question only there. Just beating around the bush. That is also not the purpose of asking question. Sometimes people put their hand up and ask questions just for prominence so that everybody will turn and see me in the assembly. That is also not the mood of asking questions. The true wealth of transcendental wisdom will come in the heart only when the person is humble and ready to listen. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is not ready to listen in the first chapter because he thinks he knows. What is the big deal? You know, I'm Gandiv Dhari. I know. So Krishna is not speaking a word. Krishna is quiet. Bhagavan, Krishna, who knows everything, first chapter, he's not speaking anything. Sometimes people even ask this question, that Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the first chapter, why even include it in the book? Krishna has not spoken a word. We can just have 17 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. Why have the first chapter? Krishna's starting to speak in the second chapter, mainly. So why include the first chapter? Well, actually, the first chapter is very important. Very, very important. It's one of the most important chapters in the 18 chapters. Because in the first chapter, Arjuna is not, you know, he's not in the mood of asking questions. He's not at least displaying that mood of himself being, you know, a receptacle, a bowl to receive transcendental wisdom. He's an eternal Mahabhagavat, eternal associate. But I'm saying for the pastime, he's playing the role of someone who considers there is no problem. And even if there is some problem, I know to fight. I can invoke any astra. Krishna, you just, you know, drive my chariot. I am a kshatriya. You are a gopa. You are a vaishya. So you do what you have to. And ultimately, as Vasudev Nandan also, you are a kshatriya, but you are still Sarathi, you're my driver. So you just do what I tell you to do. Not much. So many of us are in that mode. Like when we pray to God also, when we pray to Krishna, it's not receiving from Krishna. It's about, I have decided what I want in life. God, you fulfill that. Arjuna was in that mode pretty much in the first chapter. I have decided where my chariot should be. You simply execute what I want. And many devotees also pray like that. That I know how to chalk out life. I know how to plan my life. And God, you simply fulfill it. Till the time we are in that mood, our life is in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. God has not started to speak yet. Only when we as Arjuna fall at our knees, fall at the Lord's feet, karpanya dosho pahata swabhavat prichami tvam dharma samuda cheta yachrayasya nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. In the mood of Arjuna in chapter 2, text 7, when we fall on our knees and say, my Lord, I am confused. I am bewildered. I don't know what to do in life. You guide me. You guide me. Whatever you tell me is what I will do. You are my teacher and I am your disciple. When Arjuna takes that position, that's when Krishna starts speaking the Bhagavad Gita. Because to honor prasadam, however tasty the prasadam is, you need a plate. You need a plate on which you can keep that prasadam. So the humble nature of the listener is like a plate or a bowl in which the prasadam of transcendental wisdom can be placed. This is why Srila Sanatana Goswami is teaching us. Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. That when we approach the spiritual master, we should approach in the mood of humility. We should approach in the mood of humility. And we should say things that we really mean. Sanatana Goswami means all this, that I am very fallen. Sometimes it's just a, you know, style statement. You know, I am most fallen. Nobody's as fallen as me. Acha. If someone else comes and says something, then we will say, hey, how do you say like this to me? Don't you know I am senior? I was initiated before you. I am this, I am that. But then on the tongue we say, oh, I'm very fallen. So we should speak what we have realized in the heart. That's the best. And to be honest. So Srila Sanatana Goswami was not putting a show. He's teaching us how to approach the spiritual master and how to present the truth. We see whenever there is, we can understand this through science that, or through nature for that matter. It is raining everywhere. The rain shower is showering everywhere. And who gets the rain first? The tall mountain peaks. But are they able to hold that rainwater? No, because they're standing tall and proud. But that water comes down, flowing down, and is collected in a small muddy pool. Why? Because that muddy pool is humble. And therefore, naturally, it can hold that water. So Krishna's mercy is showering everywhere. And if we are like the tall peaks, we may get the mercy, but we may not be able to hold it. We may not be able to hold it. But only when we understand that I don't know anything. Albert Einstein once said, the more we know, the more we get to know how little we know. The more we know, the more we get to know how little we know. So when we are like standing like a tall mountain peak, we may get Krishna's mercy, but we may not be able to hold on it. But when we are humble, that is the bowl on which transcendental wisdom, Divya Gyan Hride Prakashita. It's a very important point. Also, we see pressure difference. There's a cyclone caused only when there is a pressure difference, right? When there is a high pressure and a low pressure, that causes, that difference in pressure causes a cyclonic effect. If they both are at the same pressure and there's no pressure difference, there's no cyclone. So Krishna's already at high pressure. And if we also think we are at high pressure, then there'll be no cyclone of mercy. But when we are at low pressure and Krishna's at high pressure, then there'll be a cyclone of mercy. In the field of electricity, you call this as the voltage difference. There's a difference in voltage. So Krishna's at high voltage. If we think we are also at high voltage, then there'll be no electric current of Krishna's mercy. But Krishna's on high voltage and we are on the, there's a potential difference for voltage drop or potential difference. Krishna's at high voltage and we are at low, and then that causes a potential difference which causes the flow of electric current, the electric current of Krishna's mercy. Or we can learn this from magnetism. Opposites attract and like poles repel in a magnet. So Krishna's already the North Pole or the Great Pole. And if we think we are also great, then like poles repel. There'll be no mercy. But when Krishna is great and we become humble, then naturally that brings in Krishna's mercy. There's a natural attraction between the opposite poles. And that lesson has been taught here. And what question should we ask? We should ask the spiritual master and we should ask the superiors questions for spiritual upliftment, not other questions. Maharaj, what do you think about the coronavirus? Prabhuji, what do you think about the recent elections? What do you think about Narendra Modi? These are not the points to be discussed with the spiritual superior. For that, we have different assemblies. It's like going to the doctor and saying, unfortunately, my scooter tire is punctured. Now, what is the doctor going to do? We should know what questions to ask where. If you go to the doctor, ask about the body. And if you want to take your car, then take him to a mechanic. Take him to someone who can work with the tires. Similarly, when we go to the spiritual master, what questions should we ask? Tad vijnana artham guru mevavi gachet samipani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. For what? We should ask tasmad gurum prapadhyeta jigyasu shreyam uttamam shabdhe parecha nishnatam brahmani upasamashrayam. The questions that we should ask should be twofold, sadhya tattva and sadhana tattva. This has been explained here. See, actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal. What is the goal? That's called sadhya. And the process to obtain the goal is called sadhana. So there are actually four words we can take note of. One is called sadhya, which is the goal of life. What is the goal of my life? Why have I become a human being? What am I supposed to attain in this human form? That's the first thing. That's called sadhya. The second is, what am I supposed to do to get it? That is called sadhana. Like, as an example, the sadhya could be, for a student, the sadhya could be graduation. I have to graduate out with a bachelor's degree or a master's degree. That's the sadhya at that point. And what is the sadhana? Taking classes, giving the exams, studying, all of these things. So what are the things I'm supposed to do to get my goal? So first thing is sadhya. Sadhya means goal. Second thing is sadhana. What am I supposed to employ, process to get that goal? Point number three, the one who takes on this path of sadhana to achieve the sadhya is called sadhaka. Sadhanam karoti iti sadhaka. Sadhaka. We say, wo sadhak hai. Sadhak shabd ka arth kya hai? What is the meaning of the word sadhak? He who is performing sadhana. And what is sadhana? Sadhana is the process employed to get the goal. And what is the word for goal? Sadhya. So goal is sadhya. The process employed to get that goal is sadhana. The person who practices the sadhana nicely is called sadhaka. And the person who has perfected this process and attained the sadhya and is ready to help others is called sadhu. He who has attained the sadhya and is ready to teach process about sadhana to sadhaka is called sadhu. So sadhu sanga sarva shastra koi. Lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoy sadhu sanga. Krishna prema janme teha puna mukhya anga. Kaviraj Goswami has said sadhu sanga is the main root of the success of the tree of devotion. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoy sadhu sanga. Associating with a perfected being. Sometimes we translate sadhu sanga as association with anyone and everyone. That is not the definition of sadhu sangha. There could be different words. Bhakta sangha, sadhaka sangha, Vaishnav sangha. But sadhu sangha is the highest level. To associate with someone who has attained the sadhya, who has perfected the process. If we associate with such a person, even for 1/11th a second, then our life will change and must change. Krishna Bhakti Janma Moola Hai Sadhu Sangha. The Janma Moola, the root of the appearance of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. And even if one attains Krishna Prem, he still needs the association of like-minded higher Vaishnavas. So here, Sanatan Goswami in the right mood is asking the right questions to the right person, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting as Guru Tattva here. Prabhu kahe Krishna kripa tomate purna hoy, shabe tattva jana tumar nahita patroy. Mahaprabhu said, Krishna has showered his whole mercy on you. Where are the threefold miseries? They don't exist. For someone who is practicing bhajan, who is practicing bhakti, the threefold miseries don't work. Why? What happens in natural calamity, that's beyond his control. But what others do to him, he tolerates. He doesn't see that as any trouble. If somebody is speaking something wrong about him, he doesn't care. He sees the hand of Krishna. And his mind is at the lotus feet of Krishna, so there is no adhyatmik klesha. When is the adhyatmik klesha there? When is the mind troubling the person? When the mind is not at the feet of Krishna. When the mind is not at the feet of Krishna, that's when the trouble is. Like, for example, when someone is sedated, someone is given, let's say, local or general anesthesia, then what happens? Even if there's cutting of the hand, he doesn't feel the pain. Why? Because the mind is distracted. The mind is, you know, the whole area, let's say it's in the mouth, you know, for a root canal or, you know, let's say a wisdom tooth extraction. There's a local anesthesia given on the gums. Even if there's some tooth extraction or there's some work done, the person doesn't feel anything. There's no pain because there's anesthesia, there's sedation. So if the mind can be controlled and no pain can be felt, and the person can even, the doctor can even cut the hand, even perform an open heart surgery, and there is no pain felt. Imagine, now that mind is at the lotus feet of Krishna. How can there the person feel any pain? He doesn't feel any pain. The main pain is felt when the mind is not at the feet of Krishna. That's when the pain is felt. Even death is not painful for someone who is remembering Krishna. Not possible. Absolutely not possible. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pittaihi kanthavarodhana vidau smaranam kutaste. Kulashekhar Alvar has said in the Mukundamala Stotra that I want to die now. I am ready. Because my mind is absorbed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So it doesn't matter to me. And the example is given just like a snake very easily gives up its skin. Similarly, a person remembering Krishna can give up his body with no pain because he's remembering Krishna. On the other hand, if the mind is not absorbed at the lotus feet of Krishna, every small thing is painful. Every small thing. Someone said something that is painful. Someone did not meet our expectation that is painful. Birth is painful. Death is painful. Old age is painful. Disease is painful. But if someone is always absorbed, the mind is blissfully swimming, Sri Radha Govinda Preme Sada Jena Bhasi, then there is no pain. Mahaprabhu has said that if someone receives the mercy of Krishna, then the threefold miseries do not exist. They do not trouble him. Mahaprabhu is saying, although you know these things, it is the nature of the sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, he inquires for the sake of strictness. So sadhu may sometimes take a humble position and ask these questions. Mahaprabhu is saying, you're doing this for bhavadbi loka mangalam. Munaya sadhu prishthoyam bhavadbi loka mangalam. Yena krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. That when Suta Goswami was asked these questions by Shaunakadi Rishis, Suta Goswami said, well, all of you know the answers, but you are asking this why? Bhavadbi loka mangalam, for the benefit of others. Arjuna knows the answers to the questions that Krishna, he knows the answers to the questions that he posed. But then he's doing it for the benefit of mankind. Similarly, Srila Sanatan Goswami here is asking questions as a sadhu for the benefit of others. Mahaprabhu tells him that because you have unflinching, undeviated intelligence with very exalted spiritual consciousness, you are now fit to propagate devotional service. Which means if someone has Janma Sarthaka Kuri, very high spiritual consciousness and compassion and intelligence, they are fit to become acharyas. Janma Sarthaka Kuri, Karaparo Upakar. Now from this point, the next 10 verses that we see from 108 onwards, Mahaprabhu speaks about the living being. Fundamentally, we will read the English and then we will try to comment a bit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. Just as the illumination of fire, which is situated in one place, is spread all over, the energies of the Lord Parabrahman are spread all over the universe. Krishna naturally has three energetic transformations, and these are known as spiritual potency, living entity, and illusory potency. Originally, Krishna's energy is spiritual, and the energy known as the living entity is also spiritual. However, there is another energy called illusion, which consists of fruitive activity. That's the Lord's third potency. If we are finding this overwhelming, please don't worry. Please pause. We will read through and then we will try to speak a word or two on that. All the creative energies, which are inconceivable to a common man, exist in the Supreme Absolute Truth. These inconceivable energies act in the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. O chief of the ascetics, just as there are two energies possessed by fire, namely heat and light, these inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the Absolute Truth. O King. So this is from different places. References are coming from all over the place. O King, the Kshetrajna Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or the spiritual worlds, he suffers the threefold miseries of the material energy or existence because he is influenced by avidya, which covers his constitutional position. The living entity, covered by the influence of ignorance or nescience, exists in different forms in material conditions. O King, he is thus proportionately freed from the influence of the material energy to greater or lesser degrees. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another spiritual energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resource of this material inferior nature. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature of from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy or Maya gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. In the material condition, the living entity is sometimes raised to higher planetary systems and material prosperity and sometimes drowned in hellish situations. His state is exactly like a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water. Very interesting section. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in about 10 verses has described the truth which will help us escape from this material realm once and for all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned three things. He has mentioned who we actually are. He has mentioned why we suffer. And he has mentioned how to be free from suffering. These are fundamentally the three topics discussed. As far as the first point is concerned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions Sri Krishna has three kinds of energies. Three kinds of energies. The first is called the internal energy, also called as Antaranga Shakti in Sanskrit. The second is called the external energy or Bahiranga Shakti. And the third is called marginal energy or Tatastha Shakti. So everything to do with the spiritual world, Nanda, Yashoda, Sri Balaramji, Radharani, Sakhis, Gopis, all internal energy. What is happening inside the dham? That is the internal energy. Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Mathura, Sri Vrindavan Dham, they are all the internal energy of the Lord. All those associates are Antaranga Bhaktas. They are the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. And that means in that world, there's no existence of matter. There's no existence of matter. Matter means material. That's this world. There in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual. Even if you have a microphone, that microphone has feelings. It is a person. It is alive. It can smell. It can think. There's no matter. There's nothing which is dead. Therefore, we can see in the Damodar Leela, the milk on the stove is also boiling and thinking, my life is useless. Let me jump into fire. Right? the flowers on the head of Mother Yashoda are thinking that our position actually is to be at the feet of Mother Yashoda. Let us jump. So these feelings are there in so-called inanimate objects in the spiritual world because they're not material. They're spiritual. They're transcendental. So that is the antaranga shakti or the spiritual energy. Then there is a bahiranga shakti. Bahiranga shakti is this material world. Matter. Material world. Where there is no life. If you see just around, except for the places where the soul is present, if you just look around, shoes, socks, bags, books, phones, they're all lifeless, dead matter. So that is this world. This world is made out of dead matter. And between the two worlds of the spiritual energy and the material energy are the living beings. They are called as the margin, marginal, or tatastha. Tate tishtati iti. Tata means on the banks, on the shore. And stha means situated. Like, for example, this example is given by Srila Prabhupada, that if you see an ocean shore, then there is water and there are aquatics in the water, right? So that is one. And second is the beach, the shore. One is the water, the ocean, and the second is the shore. So on the shore, you will just have sand. And then in the water, you have living beings. But think about those sand particles on the boundary of the ocean and the beach shore. They sometimes are carried by the waves into the beach and sometimes carried back into the ocean. So those sand particles who are on the surface, they sometimes go here and sometimes go there. That is our state. We are spiritual beings, but our bodies are material. So we are kind of, we don't know where to go. The soul belongs to Krishna as a spiritual spark, but the body belongs to this world. So it is a material formation. So therefore, we see like, because we are on the banks, sometimes we go to the shore and sometimes we go into the ocean. Sometimes we are thinking, I want to chant Hare Krishna. And most of the times we are thinking, I want to forget Krishna. Sometimes I feel like hearing about Krishna. Sometimes I like to hear my own glories. So we go back and forth. Those in the material world, not living beings, but matter, like anything for that matter. Let's say this little pencil here. Like, this is not a spiritual spark, right? This is dead matter. So this is a product of this material world. It never feels, I want to remember Krishna. It's fixed in this material world. While on the other hand, Sri Balaram Prabhu in the spiritual world or Nanda Maharaj, they never forget Krishna. So this guy here never remembers Krishna and those associates never forget. So they are fixed in their position. But the living beings, they sometimes remember and sometimes forget and sometimes remember. So this is called the margin, the tatastha. Krishna bhuli jeev se anadi bahirmukh athayeva mayatar diya samsar dukh. So Mahaprabhu says, who are we? Jeever swarupa hoy krishner nitya das. Krishner tathastha shakti bhed abhed prakash. We are between the spiritual energy and the material energy. So therefore, we sometimes turn left and sometimes turn right and sometimes turn left. That's our position. Moment to moment. Every moment we turn. It's our nature. Second question. Why are we suffering then? Krishna bhuli jeev se anadi bahirmukh. When, as soon as we turn away from Krishna, athayeva mayatar diya samsara dukh. Krishna bhuliya jeev bhagavancha kore nikatastha mayatar jhapatiya dhare. As soon as the person forgets Krishna, maya is ready to capture. Maya is ready to capture. And it's very interesting. This example can be given. Internal energy of Krishna is Radharani. Internal energy of Ramachandra, Mother Sita. Internal energy of Vishnu, Narayan, Lakshmi Devi. And if you see, all of them have lotus in their hand. They are born out of lotus. Padma alankrita pani pallava yugam padmasana stham shriyam vatsalyadi gunojvalam bhagavati vande jagan mataram. So they appear out of lotus. They have a lotus in their hand. Their palms are lotus. They have lotus garland. They're sitting in a lotus Padmasana position on a lotus and massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. A lot of lotus there. So the internal energy of the Lord, they are filled with lotuses. And lotus represents prosperity and happiness. But on the other hand, if you see the external energy is Maya Shakti. And that is represented by Durga Devi. Trident. Skull garland and fighting. So that is Maya Shakti. And we, if we forget Krishna, then we are under Durga Devi, who is material nature. And then naturally, what does she do? She runs with a trident behind us. Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik. And that it hurts. It hurts. But if we turn towards the Supreme Lord, then we are protected by the lotus flower of the internal energy. The internal energy is like fire. But the external energy is like smoke. Fire helps in cooking, but smoke only irritates. That's it, nothing else. Fire will help us cook. So internal energy is like fire. It helps us be happy in the service of the Lord. But external energy only suffocates us in the form of smoke. That is material energy. So Mahaprabhu is saying, yes, we are in the middle. And why are we struggling? Because we have forgotten the internal energy. And we are taking shelter of the external energy, and therefore we are hit by the trident. And the smoke is suffocating us, the smoke of this world. Only dukkha, nothing else. So now the question could be, then what is the way to be happy? What is the way to be happy? Oh, very simple. Just turn your face towards Krishna. Bhayam dvitiya bhiniveshitasyad ishadapetasya viparyayo smriti tanmayatam buddha avajetam bhakti ekayesham guru devatatma. Just happily turn your face towards Krishna and perform bhakti. Material nature cannot touch you. This is what the sum and substance of the instructions of Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami in this section is. And I want to conclude with a very beautiful story that I heard from His Holiness Shachinandan Maharaj in this context. Maharaj said that when I was a child, I had a best friend whom I used to go and visit. But unfortunately, this best friend, one day he purchased a dog. He got a dog in his house. And this dog did not know that I am the best friend of his master. So one day when I came to meet my friend, this dog started barking and running behind me. And I was running for my life. I was running for my life. And then finally I called my friend and said, why don't you tell your dog to sit down? And tell your dog that I am your friend. So then that master came out and he told the dog, hey, Tommy, sit down. I think his name is Tommy. I'm just making it up. Sit down. So then the dog sat down. Then the master told the friend, Maharaj, that you can come now. No problem. So it was a small piece in the story. Maharaj said that, you know, I wanted to meet my friend, but his dog was trying to trouble me. So I told my friend, why don't you tell your dog that I belong to you, so I'm your friend. So just let him sit. And then after that, the dog never troubled me. So from this, Maharaj connected that we are the living being and Krishna is our best friend. And the dog there is material nature. So when she's attacking, what is the way? Just call out to Krishna and tell him, why don't you tell your material energy that I belong to you? Don't trouble me. Tell the dog of Maya Shakti to sit down and not trouble me. So in this way, Daivi Hyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadhyante Maya Metam Tarantite. If anyone takes shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will tell Maya Shakti, now you back off. This person belongs to me. So we should take, the best way to do is we should take shelter of the internal energy. Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. Instead of taking shelter of the material energy and forgetting Krishna and suffering, we should take shelter of the internal energy. Who is the internal energy? Radharani. So if we take shelter of Radharani, then Krishna is pleased. And naturally, when Krishna is pleased, material energy cannot touch. Jaha Krishna taha nai, mahir adhikar. Krishna surja sama, maya hai andhakar. Jaha Krishna taha nai, mahir adhikar. Krishna is like sunlight. Maya is like darkness. Only when there's absence of sunlight, darkness prevails. But if we are under the sun, then there cannot be darkness. So the only solution to happiness is to turn our face towards Krishna and perform bhakti. So these are the answers to the three questions. Who are we? We belong to Krishna. Why do we suffer? In forgetfulness of Krishna. How do we get out of this world? By remembering Krishna. Very simple. So these are the essence of the 10 verses that we read. So time is up. We'll pause here. And if anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections, any inputs, any additions, please feel free. I'm very, very happy to hear your reflections. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Excellent, excellent class. The way you covered the entire chapter was brilliant, brilliant, Prabhu. And I really like the way you connected it to the Chaitanya Charitamrita verses. Yes, we know that teachings of Lord Chaitanya is nothing but the summarization of the essence of entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the way you brought out from these verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita was amazing. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for connecting with all those. Really appreciate, you know, it was a wonderful class.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that this topic came to you. Thank you so much. So before we go ahead with questions, I want to ask about your timings. Like, do you want to take or you are tied up? Whatever you say, Prabhu.
Maybe we'll take for 5 minutes.
Okay, sure. So Shyama Supriya Mataji, just 5 minutes. Please conduct question and answers.
Sure, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for this very, very wonderful class, Prabhu. As Mataji said, it's very interesting and we got to learn so many things. So Prabhu, as per your instructions, so we can go ahead with our question and answers. So I see Mataji, Priyanka Mataji raised her hand. Priyanka Mataji, please go ahead with your question. Mataji, are you able to unmute yourself? Yeah, please go. We cannot hear you, Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, am I audible?
Yes, we are able to hear you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Prabhuji, what means control of tongue? Because I was reading Namamrit and it was mentioned that controlling our tongue, we can control all other senses very easily. If in our house parents are using onion and garlic, then how is it necessary to take complete meal of prasadam? Only having meal, fruits and sprouts and all other little prasadam is not sufficient.
I have to know more about, it's actually a open-ended question. I need to know how old the devotee is. I need to know how many years of Krishna consciousness. I need to know how favorable the parents are or what the situation at home is. The advice will be different depending on what the individual characteristics are. But yes, onion and garlic should be avoided. And it's best because we can't offer that bhoga to Krishna if it has onion and garlic. But however, if situation at home is very demanding and we're not able to do that, then you just adjust with the situation. You can just take those pieces out and keep it. And then you just remember Krishna, maybe mix some prasad in that. Maybe if you separately offer something to Krishna, you can mix that in your meal and take away the onion and garlic that has been put there, and then just consume that to keep peace at home, because it is important to not be revolting at home at every point. And you can keep chanting and keep reading and hearing and pray to Krishna, and Krishna will make all arrangement. And this is
okay.
Just a specific point. It is not a blanket statement for everyone.
Okay. And Prabhuji, if we are taking meal prasadam one time in a day, so is it sufficient so that we can progress in our spiritual path?
More than reducing the eating, well, yes, that definitely helps in keeping good health. More important than that is to engage in the process of bhakti. If you chant Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahiyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivhado Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. Controlling the tongue means controlling the speech, controlling the eating, and making sure that we chant the holy name. These are the three things which are very important. Not talking things of this world as much as possible. gossips, criticisms, rumors, that should be avoided. You can eat two meals a day. That shouldn't be a problem. Eating the right quantity at the right time shouldn't be a problem. And then more focus on chanting the holy name. Because ultimately, even if you make your prasadam to only milk every day in the state of austerity, still we may not get Krishna bhakti without chanting Harina. We may become a tapasvi, but we will not become a bhakta. Bhakta is he who is absorbed in the primary characteristic of a devotee who wants to attain the lotus feet of Krishna is his or her undeterred chanting of the holy names. Nama Gane Sadaruchi. So eating less is definitely helpful, but way higher than that is chanting the holy name. If you chant the holy name as much as you can, then automatically with that, with this Anukulyasi Sankalpa, automatically all Pratikulyasi Varjanam, all the unfavorable things will be taken away. Okay, we'll move on to the next question.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Yes, Neeru Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, my humble obeisances to your lotus feet. I am a working woman and I have two kids. I want to do bhakti, but my mind keeps oscillating between bhakti and responsibilities towards my kids and domestic chores, etc. I feel very guilty that I am not justifying my kids to their betterment, to their health, studies, etc. When I do chanting bhakti, I dedicate time towards bhakti, then I feel it can be substituted with the, you can understand, I can give this time to my kids for their studies. And so this is very, I feel guilt if I don't do bhakti, chanting, etc. Then I feel more guilt than, but due, it is, I know it is due to lack of faith in Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's mercy. Please, Prabhuji, guide me and help me.
Atmanam sarvato rakshet. Atmanam sarvato rakshet. Before we see for the requirements of the body, of the self and the family, the soul must be given protection by performing bhakti. If the cage is cleaned, but the bird is not fed, what is the use? Tathakim, 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 tathakim. So if we are doing everything for society and family and our body and our financial status and everything taken care, but the bird of the soul is dying out of hunger and thirst because of lack of bhakti, not a nice proposal. Similarly, if the car is well oiled, but the driver is not given his roti, he will not survive. Both are important. The bird should be fed, the cage should be cleaned. The driver should be fed, the car should be cleaned. The soul should be fed, the body should be helped. Both. So there is Nitya Dharma and there is Naimitik Dharma. Nitya Dharma means the duty of the soul towards God. And then Naimitik Dharma is the duty as a parent that we have to do for our children. Just like we have duty towards our children, we have duty towards our parents also. Not just for one birth, the eternal parent also, Sri Hari, who is giving us breath. So therefore, time management, it is possible. All the Matajis here at the Bhakti Sangha Japa group are all mothers and all wives and all daughters and all sisters, but they're also devotees. So it is possible. We just have to manage time. We have to take time out of all the gossip that we all may be doing, the oversleeping that we may be doing, the overeating that we may be doing, the unnecessary frivolous activities of watching TV, other things that we may be doing. All of us, we have to take time out. Human life is very short. So we have to plan. We have to plan everything. Failing to plan is planning to fail. If we don't plan properly, then we will fail in all our responsibilities. Gurur na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. If we are doing everything for our children, but if we are not able to connect them to Krishna, because we ourselves are not connected to Krishna, then what is the use? What are we giving them? We are giving them food, clothing, shelter, and education, but then they are not going to be happy without bhakti. So therefore, we should plan. When they are asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, up to about 7:30 in the morning is the time for wearing the bulletproof jacket of bhakti, so that even during the day there are bullets in the form of some struggle, we are not affected. We are well taken care. So in the morning, 2-3 hours, you can chant and hear Krishna Katha. And then from 7:30 onwards, if it's taking care of the children to their school or other things, then we can prioritize that. There's always time. There's time for exercise. There's time for sleeping. There's time for proper eating. There's time for all the responsibilities. And then there's time for Krishna. And then there'll be time. There'll be a point where, irrespective of whatever we are doing, one cannot forget Krishna. Just like a woman in the village, she carries 6 water pots, one over the other, over the other, over the other. And she's carrying, right? We may have seen such women with water pots filled with water on the head, one over the other, over the other, over the other. Yet at the same time, they're carrying and they're also looking at each other and joking and talking also. But throughout, their attention is always on the pot. They're walking, they're looking around, they're even joking, but their attention is always on the water pot. Look at a girl who's at a tightrope. You know, she's carrying a stick in her hand and she's balancing and even dancing on a rope. So irrespective of whatever she's doing, her eyes are always at her feet. That is how a devotee is. He may be doing so many activities of this world, but constantly his mind is thinking, when will I chant now? When will I hear? Constantly thinking of Krishna. He's like a tightrope girl who's doing so many activities in this world, but the eyes are always at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Always at the feet of the Supreme Lord. Think about a pickpocket in a temple. Sometimes you see Banke Bihari temple or ISKCON temples also. Beware of pickpocket thieves. What do? They come. They do everything. They will come. They take darshan also. They do all this also. They may stand and take charanamrit also. But their eyes are always at the pocket. Whose wallet, whose purse is accessible? They are doing everything. They are externally having tilak also. Maybe sometimes they may have some drama. You know, they may act as a devotee. But their point is only how to pick the pocket. So a pickpocket does everything externally, but his mind is always at the wallet. So why we can't do things of this world and just keep Krishna Naam on our tongue? Where is the excuse? Dunya ke kaam karte rahiyo, Radhe Shyam japte rahiyo. What is the problem? Radha Krishna Naam can be on the tongue. Like a child, maybe running also, playing also, and keep a candy in the mouth also. Like that, we keep the name on the tongue and the activities of the body are going on. It's not difficult. We just have to have a stronger will. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji. One more question, please.
Since there are 2-3 more devotees raised their hand, so to respect their presence also, maybe we'll take your question later. Is that okay?
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, Surekha Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, am I audible?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Prabhuji, there is no ISKCON temple in my city and there is a Gaudiya Math in my city. Sometimes I want to go there just like on festival seasons. But I get confused that I am taking preachings from ISKCON Institute. And I'll go to some other institute. Will it be work?
Are you already part of a preaching ISKCON preaching program in your city? I think there's some internet connection.
ISKCON Beautiful. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji. I think the voice is cracking up a bit. I'm not able to clearly. I think the audio is not coming across. Maybe in the interest of time, we'll take the next question.
Okay, sure. Darshini Mataji, Darshini Ayer. Yeah, please go ahead, Mataji or Prabhuji. Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Your words keep me so energetic and live in my bhakti. Thank you so much. We in our family, though my grandmother know only Tamil, they just love to see your accents and all. So happy to know you, Prabhuji. My question is that, I don't have doubt, but can you just explain something about Satyavrata Muni? Because we have a temple here where some rishi has experienced this Damodar Leela in his mind, and there is a temple that Uluka and all. So where does Satyavrata Muni belong to?
This is in South India?
Yes, Prabhuji, near
Kumbakonam. Yeah, actually, that's a different temple. That is not Satyavrata Rishi, but that is another great devotee who in his meditation saw this very beautiful pastime, and the whole temple is built after that great sage. So Satyavrata Rishi's pastime, of course, is long, long, it's old, but this sage is in Kali Yuga. So very, very famous. It's a Damodar temple there. Yeah, very famous.
Yes.
But it's a different
Thank
devotee.
You so much.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. And now we are moving to the next question. Purnima Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, when we are dealing with some... Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, when we are dealing with some mysteries and critical condition, then we are calling Krishna purity. I'm not calling Krishna very purity. Prabhuji, then when we, by the mercy of Krishna, I'm in very favorable condition. Everything is favorable in my bhakti. So, Prabhuji, how can I develop my pure intensity to call Krishna?
So, I couldn't hear all the words in the question. I'll try to repeat. You let me know if I understood the question right. And if it's not, then we can hear it again. So is your question this, that when there is misery or there's a reversal in life, there are critical problems in life, we can call out to Krishna with all our heart. But how can we develop that spirit of calling out to Krishna even without the misery? Is that the question? Okay. So initially, we have to connect to Krishna with whatever we have. It could be anything. Let's say it's, we all have some of the other concerns, right? Something or the other is there. Some will have health problems. Some will have stress about examinations. Some will have desire that I wish I can go to Vrindavan, my Lord, there is something lacking. So we start off from that point. Practically connecting to Krishna from the point that we are situated at this point. That my Lord, I have no taste in chanting japa. I want to chant more, but somehow it's not happening. Can you shower your blessings? Can you give me association of some devotee in whose association my chanting will better? So in this way, we should try to pray. And then the more the dependence on the Supreme Lord develops, such a person, even during critical times, can call out to Krishna with all their heart. Like Draupadi Devi was always depending on Krishna. One name of Draupadi Devi is Krishna, because she's Krishnamayi. She's always absorbed in Krishna. And therefore, naturally, she can remember Krishna at all times. So we should start off from the point where we are in. We don't need dukkha to remember Krishna. Wherever we are, whatever situation, we can thank Krishna for all that we have received. When we sincerely introspect for the level of Krishna consciousness that we practice, we should feel in our heart that I don't deserve even 5% of what I receive today. But Krishna, you're so kind. Radharani, you're so kind. You're giving me Krishna Katha. You're giving me Krishna Kirtan. You're giving me these books. You're giving me Vaishnavas that I associate with. You're giving me entrance into Vrindavan Dham. You're giving me a tulsi plant that I can circumambulate and I can make spiritual advancement. You're giving me a local congregation that I can associate with. You have appeared in the form of the holy name and this human form. You're giving me a chance to realize these beautiful gifts. So out of gratitude, we can always cry. We can always remember Krishna. We don't need dukkha to remember Krishna. And such a person who depends on Krishna at all times, whether it is sukhe dukhe bhule na ko vadane hari naam bolore, gai gora madhur shore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, whether sukha or dukkha, the person will remember Krishna. So it's not that difficult. We simply have to sit on a chair with a book on the table and write things that we think are blessings in our life, which others may not have. And out of gratitude, we can call out to Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna and we pray to Radharani. Thank you so much. Even without me asking, you have given me so much. Why should I even ask you something? Why should I ask you things? Without me asking, you have given me so much. You care and you have affection for me, O Radharani, O Krishna. You have more affection for me than what I have for myself. So why should I even ask you anything? So in this way, we should depend on Krishna. Is that okay? And then we'll take one last question. Tejaswini Mataji.
Prabhuji, I have two questions. Can I ask both of them and you can answer whichever you feel is good here? Is it okay, Prabhuji?
Okay, okay.
Prabhuji, my first question is how to develop that mood of surrender about which you were talking in the lecture, because we hear the instructions but we don't imbibe them because we don't have that mood of humility. And this is my first question, that how to develop the mood of surrender. And the other one is that sometimes people in Vrindavan, I read that they also pray to Krishna, like during Aghasur and Govardhan Dhar and Leela. So is it in Aishwarya Bhav, or if yes, then how it is the Shuddh Madhurya Bhav?
So the second question first. Gargacharya had predicted, Tasman Nandatma Joyam Me Narayana Samo Gunai. Shriya Kirtyanu Bhavena Gopayasva Samahita. Gargacharya had predicted while making the chart of Krishna that Narayana Samogunai, that Krishna is very similar to Narayana. And anyone who calls out to him and with increased love for him, then they will always be protected. So they are not depending on Krishna for what Krishna is. To keep the word of Gargacharya true, that Gargacharya had said, whenever we have trouble, if we call out to you, then we will be protected. So to protect ourselves, we are calling out to you. We know you cannot help us, but Gargacharya has said, and he cannot go wrong. So even in their calling and dependence for help, it is only Madhurya Prem. There is no Aishwarya there. Even the friends of Krishna, when they're burning in the forest fire, about to burn in the forest fire, they're praying to Krishna. What are they praying? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Hey Rama, Moga, Vikrama. They're praying, oh Krishna, please protect us. Why? If something happens to us and we die, tomorrow you will not have any friends to play with. And we know without us, you will feel bored. So that tomorrow you have friends to play with, you keep us alive. You keep us alive so that you have friends to play with. Because without us, you will feel bored. So even in their calling out to Krishna for help, there is consideration of Krishna's protection and Krishna's play. So there is only Madhurya there. And as far as how to develop humility, humility develops by humiliation. By humiliation. So, Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchane sarvai gunai stattra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. The Bhagavatam has described that when we develop bhakti, nishkinchana anam nagrinita yavad, when we develop bhakti, vina mahat padarajobi shekham, when we develop bhakti, bhaktiyai kayesham guru devatatma, when we develop bhakti at the lotus feet of a great Vaishnava, when we have attachment to the lotus feet of a great Vaishnava, and under their guidance we serve, then automatically we will become humble. When we are always walking around people who are spiritually not as advanced as us, then we will be proud. If we always talk to groups where we are senior and others are junior, then we will always feel my sadhana is better than them. But when we are in the association of those whose sadhana is way better than ours, then naturally we feel so small. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, when we stand on the shore of an ocean, just by looking at the ocean, a person feels so small. Just by looking at the waves and the tides, oh, how dangerous, how big, how wide is the ocean, we feel so small. So when we constantly associate with Vaishnavas who are like ocean, their sadhana is inconceivable. So austere, so dedicated, so attached to the chanting of the holy names. Then we feel, you know, where am I? Mera to kuch nahi hota. Mera to prarambh bhi nahi hua. I have not even begun. Only then it will come. Bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. Only in the association of great Vaishnavas who are nam nishtha, who are very deeply attached to Krishna bhajan, then one will become humble by serving under their lotus feet. Otherwise, not possible. Otherwise, not possible. Take care. I said 5 minutes, but somehow we went to 30 minutes. Sorry, I took everybody's time also. So I hope this answers the question. We will wrap up. Back to you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this wonderful question and answer session. And from this, I have a take-home point. So you said that we have to count our blessings. We have to write down the blessings, what we have in our life. That is a very beautiful point, Prabhu. Definitely, I will write down my blessings. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
So with this, I would like to pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarupyasya kripa sindhu bhye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindu ki jai namacharya shila haridas thakur ki jai shila prabhupad ki jai teachings of lord chaitanya book ki jai his grace amarendra prabhu ki jai thank you so much prabhuji hare krishna
ananta koti
ananta koti vaishnavrindu ki jai thank you so much prabhuji
thank you so much hare krishna
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, closing the call for today. Thank you everyone for joining. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji and Prabhuji.